Hello, welcome to another podcast episode. I'm joined today by Alistair Breedy. I'd like to introduce yourself.
Hello, yeah, my name's Alistair Breedy. I'm a healthcare professional. I live and have lived for the last 12 to 13 years. I've lived in Thailand. I live on the magical island of Koh Samui, and I came here to work in the healthcare industry. Mm-hmm. That's what I do. And, well, we're in the midst of a COVID-19 pandemic, so I don't know what you want to say about that, Mark.
Well, you were saying about in Thailand, you're 71st on the most effective.
The list came out yesterday. There are 75 countries on it. Thailand is, I have a slight proviso here, but I may have to be careful of what I say. It's number 71 on the list of affected countries. So It's near the bottom, although there were 30 new cases today. Thailand hasn't closed its borders, mm-hmm. but countries nearby have. Malaysia closed today. No tourists. Nobody can enter Malaysia. Mm-hmm. Vietnam is forbidding the entry of people from any of the affected countries. Mm-hmm. Thailand has you're supposed to download an app onto your telephone if you come from China, South Korea, Hong Kong, Italy, or one of the affected countries anyway. And then you are required to go into self-isolation when you arrive here, and they track you via this app.
Mm-hmm. I heard that in China, they have an app. All citizens have to have an app. And they have to, put their whereabouts.
It's the same system.
Their whereabouts at all times.
Exactly. It's the same system. But China today, looking at the figures, China today has no new cases of indigenous Chinese. Mm-hmm. The only new cases that China is recording have come from overseas. They've been visitors. Mm. And I notice also that South Korea, the numbers are bottoming out. So these two have passed the peak and now are on the improvement.
So what's your view on this? Is it as deadly as they're claiming?
Only deadly in certain cases.
I think something funny's going on.
Most definitely. But yes, I mean, COVID-19 is a variant of flu. They're stoking it up, and they're pushing the fear aspect of this. This is not at all helpful, because of course fear stops the healing process. Mm-hmm. So this makes it all worse. Mm-hmm. Because if we're looking at
it suppresses the immune system.
Well, I'm going to be careful about how I use that word. It suppresses the healing system.
Can you tell us more about that? Why do you not want to say immune system?
Because I think that is a wrong word. Let's go back. Let's go back to Pasteur and Bichon. Mm-hmm. Pasteur was the father of the germ theory in the second half of the 19th century. Mm-hmm. And he was opposed by someone called Bichon. And Bichon said, no, it's not the germ, it's the terrain. And this is the point I want to make. So if we're going to use the word immune system, the terrain would be you have a poor immune system. You have, you're immunosuppressed. Pasteur recanted on his deathbed. He said, no, it's not the germ. It's the terrain. But of course, some people saw a business opportunity here and went with the germ theory, which of course was how the pharmaceutical industry came about, because the pharmaceutical industry has been busily fighting germs ever since. Mm-hmm. But we need germs, bacteria and viruses are an important part of us. If we killed all the bacteria in our bodies, we'd die tomorrow. Mm-hmm. The gut, the biome, is bacterial. Mm-hmm. This is part of your digestion system. It's part of your immune system. So that's why people take probiotics, because when you take antibiotics, for example, it kills all this lot off. But of course, antibiotics are completely useless against a virus.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we need to define what a virus is as well.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So,
go on.
I was just going to say, I mean, you said it's a strain of the flu. I was reading this morning that in the virus to kill 5,000 people, the flu has killed 30,000 in the USA alone.
The flu annually kills something like 80,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
The normal flu that kills 80,000 people. I believe this COVID-19, I think the figure is just over 5,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it doesn't even compare.
No.
And they're into stoke the fear thing up that this is unknown. They don't know where it's going to go and what it is and blah, 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 blah. Coronaviruses have been around for a very long time, and they're basically, I mean, a part of a common cold.
Mm-hmm.
The people who are susceptible to this, I believe over 50,000 people have had this particular strain.
Mm-hmm.
And of the 50,000, 5,000 have died.
Yeah.
So you can do the maths for yourself. But the people who are susceptible to this mm-hmm. are people who are old
mm-hmm.
or people who are immunosuppressed, so that they have some sort of illness.
Mm-hmm.
And so that they are therefore open to, you know, for this to collapse into something like a pneumonia, which is, of course, in certain cases, pneumonia is perhaps one of the biggest killers of the old that there is.
Mm-hmm.
So if 80% of people will have this mm-hmm. with no recognizable symptoms, they will have a cold and or flu. And if you have either of those, you go home, you go to bed, and you breeze out the symptom.
Mm-hmm.
That's the sensible thing to do. Of course, we're not encouraged to do that. People are encouraged, you know, go to work, and this imbalance. So people who are really, who are, shouldn't be going to work are going to work. But if you're ill with one of those, then that's what you do. You go home, you go to bed. I've had the flu this year. It's strange how it came about. And the symptoms were terrible. And it went round my household like a dose of salt. So I had a fever, I had a cough, and it took 2 weeks to get rid of it. And this was in early January, before any of this was really talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether this was Corona-19 or not, I don't know, because we're quite close to China, and there are a lot of Chinese people who come here, so it's entirely possible. But I got through it, and the fever was a nuisance to get rid of, but I got rid of it, and I got a cough. And I've also had pneumonia in not a too distant future past either, and that's not nice, because that you can get fibrosis in the lungs. That can interfere with your breathing. And my oximeter reading was below 90, was about 93, which is actually quite dangerous. It's hospitalization. I wasn't hospitalized. And as it was a bacterial strain of my pneumonia, it responded to to antibiotics very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So I passed, but it's taken me quite a long time to get my oxygen reading up. I've had to practice deep breathing and exercise. All these things are absolutely essential to safeguard our health.
Mm-hmm.
And I see the British government have some lunatic idea of isolating people over 70 years of age. So they don't exercise, they don't get out in the fresh air, and these are absolutely essential to ward off something like this.
So tell us more about the germ and the terrain. Tell us, can you tell us more about it?
Well, I mean, there's some very interesting theories on it. I mean, I think the germ theory was taken up by certain people who saw this as a business opportunity. And it's given rise to the pharmaceutical industry, which is a $1 trillion a year industry worldwide. I'm not quite sure what a trillion is, but it sounds an awful lot. It's been a business opportunity. But Pasteur said, and agreeing with Bichon, that it's your system, it's how your health is, whether you withstand a disease or not. So you need to be doing sensible things like healthy eating. The father of modern medicine is Hippocrates. And Hippocrates said, let food be thy medicine. I don't mean this processed rubbish that's been sold by the food industry. I mean proper food, vegetables, fresh vegetables, fruit, that sort of thing. A plant-based diet is really healthy with a bit of protein thrown in. That's what we should be eating, not things in packets full of artificial ingredients. And that's what the food industry pushes. And of course, the food industry is the second biggest advertiser in the media after the pharmaceutical industry. So the media has a vested interest in pushing the pharmaceutical line because, of course, if they don't get advertisers, they go bust. So that's one of the things. Basic good health, eating healthily, hydrating properly, drinking sufficient water, supplementing, because our modern farming methods are intense and farming has become a big business. So the natural cycles of how fields lay fallow to rejuvenate themselves with the necessary vitamins and minerals is ignored. Instead, they pile on artificial fertilizers, NPK and so on, which is not giving back to the earth the nutrients that it needs to pass on to you and me. And so this is not a new problem. It's been there for a long time. Male sperm counts have decreased over 50% in the last 50 years. People are not talking about this. This is really important. And so therefore, supplementation, vitamin C, Cathcart and other people like this were using, and there's a lot of literature and there's been a lot of research which is ignored, that use the importance of vitamin C to boost health. There was a polio epidemic in the 1940s. They were using large doses of vitamin C to fight that because vitamin C has an antiviral component, although that's denied by the pharmaceutical industry. But there's research that disputes this, you know. So vitamin C we should be using to boost our immune systems, our health, our ability to withstand illness. By taking the RDA for vitamin C is 60 milligrams. That's a joke. 60 milligrams is absolutely nothing. Linus Pauling, who was the father of orthomolecular medicine, his minimum dose was 2 grams a day as a preventative, as a prophylactic. I think it should be more than 2 grams. I think as a prophylactic, it should be 3 grams. And if you get ill, it goes up and up and up and up and up and up. And if you're seriously ill, 50 grams is not a whole lot because the body will withstand it. When you're well, you get diarrhea when you reach bowel tolerance, assuming that the vitamin C has not been administered intravenously. Which is the best way to get it, because through pills, of course, you're not absorbing very much. It all depends on your digestive system. Also, zinc is very important. These are all antioxidants. They fight free radical damage. Selenium, which is also something that is in the soil that is now totally depleted, is also an important supplement. I think magnesium is good because it's the stress buster. All of these things people should be taking because they're not going to get them in food, not in sufficient quantity.
So how would someone supplement with that much vitamin C?
You need to go and get some pills. I mean, pills are actually not very effective in the sense that they have a celluloid, tablets have celluloid coatings and they have to dissolve via the digestive system. And how well they dissolve and how well you absorb the vitamin depends on your digestive system. Crystalline is better, the crystal vitamin C. It's easier to absorb and you can put it into your smoothies, into your drinks and sprinkle it on your cereal. That's better. It tastes nasty, but if you put it in a juice or a smoothie, the taste is quickly disappears. Their liposomal vitamin C is vitamin C encased in a fat-resistant, a fatty package, if you like. So this slips through the digestive system and is better absorbed. But the best way to get vitamin C is by intravenously. And of course, that if it's large doses, that's how you should take it, because otherwise you're going to get huge diarrhea. Because if you're taking it in tablet form, there comes a point that the body's it's called bowel tolerant, and the body then starts to goes into diarrhea. Now, there's nothing wrong with diarrhea because diarrhea is a great way of getting rid of toxins, but it also can be dangerous in the sense it can dehydrate and so on. So intravenously into a vein, getting a doctor to or a healthcare professional to do that for you, it's quite difficult to come by in the UK and it's quite expensive. Here, it's my local doctor does it. And it's not very expensive. That's one way. And another thing is to alkalize the body, because viruses don't like any disease doesn't like an alkaline environment. Fruit, vegetables are alkaline. Things like lemon, although their pH is very low when you test them outside of the body, but when you take them in the body, they become quite alkaline. That's quite a good one. My favorite is baking soda, I'd rather call it sodium bicarbonate. Baking soda is the grocery variant, and sometimes it contains aluminium, so be careful of that. But bicarbonate of soda you can buy in the pharmacy and the chemist for next to nothing. And half a teaspoon of that in a cup of warm water with a slice of lemon alkalizes, because what we really want to do is alkalize the blood. But there's a very narrow window of opportunity there. But this will alkalize the system. If you can push up the urine pH or the saliva pH to above 7, which is base, you're in a safe area. So I would advise everybody to be taking, at the moment, to be taking a dose of sodium bicarbonate at least once or if not twice a day. If you get sick, then your requirements for all of these things go way up, you know?
Yeah.
If you're under 60, you can take 6 doses of bicarbonate of soda a day like that. And then you decrease it on the first day, it's 6 doses, on the second day, 5, and so on, down to 2, which is your holding dose till your symptoms disappear. All these things are there. And no one is really going to tell you about them. So what you really want is to educate yourself. And I'm happy to talk to people about this. And I'm happy to talk to people online and so on to help them, because the really big one here is the fear factor. And we need to address that. And how do you turn off flight and fight? Well, you turn off flight and fight by deep breathing. That's as simple as that. It takes you out of the running away from saber-toothed tigers, sympathetic dominance, which was supposed to work once every month for a half an hour when you were running away from saber-toothed tigers. Nowadays, it's the response is totally inappropriate because people live in this and respond inappropriately to situations that don't require a life or death response. That's but to turn off the sympathetic, which is adrenal, epinephrine or epinephrine, a cortisol response, which are all hormones which are also toxic in the body, the easiest way is deep breathing. Mm-hmm. Deep breathing is so important.
7-11 breathing, making the out-breath longer than the in-breath.
Well, there are various ways of doing it. I am a great fan of Wim Hof. Mm-hmm. The Iceman, the super athlete, you've heard of him, yes?
Yes, yeah.
Now, his breathing technique, which I do every morning in bed, because you have to lie down to do this, otherwise you fall over. You do, it's breathing in through the belly, pushing the air up into the chest and then up into the head and then releasing it. So it's like that, and you do 30 of those 3 times. Is very, very powerful. There's a lot of information out there, Wim Hof's website, their YouTube videos showing you how to do this. And I mean, he brings down blood pressure, brings down blood sugar levels, all sorts of things using this technique. And one of the experiments he did was with E. coli. He got himself injected by E. coli and demonstrated no symptoms. Now, E. coli is a powerful bacterial agent that generates disease. He had no symptoms because he attributed this to his breathing method. And so everyone wouldn't turn around and say this guy's crazy or there's something very weird about him. He got 12 other people to do the same thing. He taught them his breathing and had them injected. And again, they displayed no symptoms either. So it's well worth checking this out.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there's stacks of stuff. If you Google Wim Hof, W-I-M-H-O-F, the Iceman. I mean, I'm part of his, I've done his workshop. Mm-hmm. We did the breathing and I amazed myself because after the session, I could hold my breath for over 3 minutes. I've never been able to do that in my life. Mm-hmm. And there were divers at the same thing who held their breath for over 6 minutes.
Really?
Absolutely astounding. And then we were required to get into a bucket of an ice bath and sit there for 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. Now that's perfectly, you know, that's voluntary, but the breathing is really, really, really important. So I really would stress to everybody to check it out. There are other breathing methods as well. I like the one where you breathe in on the count of 6. Mm-hmm. Hold for the count of 24, mm-hmm. and then breathe out on the count of 12, doing some of those, because what you want to do is have some sort of reaction. You want to feel the blood picking up, the hemoglobin picking up the oxygen. Mm-hmm. And so you want to have, you know, fuzzy hands, you want to have tingly hands, you want to have this sort of thing, because that shows that that's happening.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And chewing as well is also a good way to deal with anxiety, because if you were in a threat situation, you wouldn't have time, you know, you wouldn't be eating. So chewing is another way to tell your body it's safe and trigger the relaxation response.
Absolutely. Most people don't chew properly. They eat far too quickly. And then they're swallowing globs of indigestible material and wonder why they have digestive issues. We need to chew everything till it becomes like liquid.
Absolutely. And another thing that I know you like is EFT, emotional freedom.
Absolutely. EFT is absolutely brilliant. Now, I've just watched a video today. It was put out by the Tapping Solution, because I believe they've got a workshop or something at the moment. And it was a video of, if you remember, that where all this, a lot of this COVID stuff started was the cruise ship that was quarantined in Japan. Mm-hmm. And it was two of the passengers, well, one specifically, but it was a husband and wife. who was quarantined as a result of this. And he used EFT to enhance his breathing, mm-hmm. because we need to have an oxygen reading, which is going to stimulate the hemoglobin, which is the iron that attaches to red blood cells. We need to have an oxygen reading above 4. Mm-hmm. If we have it lower, it's quite dangerous. We can have fibrosis of the lung, which is scarring of the lung. So he used EFT to enhance his breathing, which actually removed the symptoms and speeded up his healing. Mm-hmm. So I really recommend everybody to check out. There are several EFT. If you don't know how to do EFT, I'm really happy at this moment. If people want to contact me, I can give you my telephone number so you can get hold of me with WhatsApp or Line or something like that. And I'm more than happy to show you how to do this and to train you how to do this, because it's so important.
Yeah, there's videos, you know, all over YouTube as well.
There are as well, yes. But sometimes people like a hand to hold. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and these are extraordinary times. And I think we all need to step out of our comfort zone and offer help, because I think this is not just about a health issue. This is about rebalancing this planet where we seem to have lost the plot. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, why is there this hysteria, do you think? You think the government's all up to something?
Oh, yes, most definitely. I think, why have they closed down all these countries? I mean, it's a lockdown. It's like putting rats in a trap. Mm-hmm. Why are they doing that? I mean, I think you're going to, I don't want to talk too much about this for various reasons, but I think you need to do your own homework. Mm-hmm. Bruce Lipton, who is one of my favorite people, mm-hmm. Bruce, Biology of Belief, he was a microbiologist. He feels that there might be some cahoots between the press and the pharmaceutical industry to generate panic. So what they're really looking for is a virus, because then everyone is going to rush up to get inoculated, and whoever makes the virus is going to make a bomb. But it's a bit like the AIDS epidemic of the 1980s, mm-hmm. Where everyone was going to die of AIDS.
Well, it wasn't this, you know, it wasn't like this though, was it? This is something.
This is worldwide, but there was a lot of fear and panic around the AIDS virus. And when I was trained, mm-hmm. and this is, I find interesting, we were told, and I'm going back before, you know, 1984, mm-hmm. No, I'm not. I'm going about that time. We were told that if you had antibodies to something, you were immune to it. Mm-hmm. Well, the AIDS virus, the HIV test, which was the benchmark for all of this, is an antibody test. So why is it, which would indicate that you had been exposed to the HIV virus, and the chances were that you were immune to it. Mm. So suddenly everything was turned on its head. And of course, lots of people have HIV and don't have AIDS. It depends on the state of, you know, how well they keep themselves. And that's our responsibility. It's nobody else's. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We need to be looking to healthy living.
I think it's very suspicious the way the government has been about it. Personally, I think it's a controlled financial collapse.
Well, that's quite possible.
Pharmaceuticals, you know, you don't make money curing people, do you?
Well, you do if you come up with a cure. And this, to my mind, is, you know, if you came up with a cure for AIDS, as they thought, they said interferon was that. I think that was made by GlaxoSmithKline. I can't remember who made it. I mean, and everyone, oh, voila, this is wonderful. And of course, their stock price goes up and they make stacks of money.
It's more profitable if you keep them coming back, though, isn't it?
Well, that is true. That's why we have things like statins and so on. It keeps them coming back. But I think what they're looking for is a vaccine. And what they would really like is probably to have the whole world vaccinated, which I think would be pretty disastrous.
What's your view on vaccines?
Let's not go down there.
Okay.
My view on, because you don't, people don't understand viruses. What a virus is, you know, if you really, they are portrayed as some sort of malign creature that creeps up on you. Mm-hmm. Vaccines are dead. They're not alive. Bacteria's alive, but vaccines are dead. And Thomas Cohen, who has a very interesting theory on this, he says that viruses are the mitochondria of the cells excreting toxins. So really, the virus is the poo coming out of the cell.
Mm-hmm.
So the poo is there because we're toxic.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, where this becomes a problem is that the poo gets onto your hands or something, and we spread it to other people. So other people are eating or ingesting your vaccine's poo. It's a very interesting theory, and it fits in with Pasteur as well.
Mm-hmm.
If, you know, these things are portrayed as enemies. If you killed all the viruses and bacteria in your body right now, you're dead.
Mm-hmm.
They're necessary for life.
Yeah.
So, but they are portrayed as enemies. And so what is happening, in my view, is that the world is going through a huge and very necessary detoxification process.
Mm-hmm.
We have pushed things to the limits. We have lived out of balance with nature and everything else. Mm-hmm. And it's time that we stopped and took stock of how we bring ourselves back to balance, how we bring the planet back to balance. Mm-hmm. So consequently, I would argue that this is a good thing.
So do you think this is going to change things for the better in the long run?
I think it's going to make huge changes. Already you can see some of them. You know, why do people need to go to work in offices and so on, where with cyber technology like we're doing here, we're talking 6,000 miles apart.
Mm-hmm.
In the same time, you know, you don't need to go to an office. You can have a meeting like this.
Mm-hmm.
You can do a lot of your work like this. You don't need to fly to Tokyo. You can have a group office meeting online.
Absolutely.
And that saves, you know, having to get dressed up in business clothes and huge commuting costs and all sorts of things.
Air pollution, yeah, absolutely.
And I think there's one. I think it's going to make a huge difference to the travel industry.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of airlines are going to go bust. And I think cheap travel might be a thing of the past.
Hmm.
You know, your holidays in sunny Spain might suddenly become a lot more expensive. And that affects me too, because flying from here to London, for example, is a very long flight. It's 11 hours. Mm-hmm. And it's very cheap if I go economy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just over 500 quid, if that,
mm-hmm.
for that distance, return.
Yeah.
I think that makes a difference. And already the shutdown of industry and factories and so on in China have cleared up the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
But there's one thing that we have missed out, And that's the danger of 5G.
Yeah, I mean, I've been seeing all kinds of things about, you know, this virus is the symptoms of 5G. And
well, every time, you know, electricity weakens the human system. I can prove it to you easily. If you sit in front of this telephone, this is weakening. Mm-hmm. If I sit in front of my fridge, that's weakening. Mm-hmm. I've got a fan on here, that's weakening me. All of this affects my ability to heal. Mm-hmm. And every time they have upped the ante as far as electricity is concerned, there have been epidemics. And 5G is very, very, it's the microwave frequency, 2.4 gigahertz. Mm-hmm. Basically, I'm talking to you on a microwave. And microwaves are extremely dangerous.
Yeah.
And I threw my microwave cooker on the skip many years ago because it chemically alters, it physically alters the constituency of food. It works by agitating the water molecules in food. And so this changes the food. And 5G, they're putting up all these satellites. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's scary stuff. Mm-hmm. And two areas that are really, I mean, Wuhan was one of the experimental zones for 5G.
Really?
And so was Milan. Both of these were 5G to the gills. And, so it looks like there could well be a connection. I don't think Iran counts in there, but I think that's a completely different story. And I don't understand why Norway has now got the highest number of cases, or the increase is so much greater than the rest. Why Norway? I don't know. I mean, I can understand a country like San Marino, which is a very small population. So if they have a few cases, their percentile goes up a lot. But I don't understand these things. I can only think that there is something very fishy afoot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kind of worrying times.
Well, I think that's where we must stop worrying. We must let this go. That's where EFT and the breathing is so important. This anxiety, we must drop this anxiety. And we must stop posting all this negative crap on social media. And there's positive crap, but, well, I'm not going to call it crap. There's positive stuff. And that's what we want to know about. Like today, China had zero cases of locally or inherent cases of COVID-19. That's positive. That this is South Korea, the numbers are dropping off. That's the sort of stuff we wanted. What can we do about it? What responsibility, because we're responsible, what responsibility can we take to help safeguard ourselves?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what we want to focus on. Not woe is me and rushing to the hospital. I mean, I went yesterday to pay my phone bill. Both girls behind the desk were thermometers that are deemed illegal in the United Kingdom, the good old mercury thermometer. And they were busily taking their temperatures as they were sitting there. That's how crazy this has become.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, people are rushing to the hospital with the slightest symptom. And of course they're overwhelmed. They can't cope with most of this stuff, doesn't need to be there.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's, you know, it's putting fear into people, and then the slightest, you know, sniffle, they're going to feel worse. It's going to make them feel worse than they are. And, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's work to, I think the most important thing here is to give techniques and to help people with techniques to allay this fear.
Absolutely.
And that's the most important thing that I think any of us can do, because everyone is becoming hysterical. Mm-hmm. Well, not everybody, but a hell of a lot of people. And, you know, buying up toilet tissue, hoarding food. It's extraordinary.
It is. It's very, very strange.
Well, it's not. I mean, it's a feature. I mean, I recognize in the UK. Here, this is not happening. But in the UK, you go into Asda on Christmas Eve, and the shelves are empty. Yeah. Asda only closes on Christmas Day. It's reopened on Boxing Day. But everybody has stocked up as if they were expecting to go into siege. There's this sort of mentality. And I think that is wrong. This is, we are here to support and help each other. It's not, we are in any way separate. It's we are, which actually came out in Brexit too. We're not separate. We're all part of the greater global mass. And that's where we need to be focusing. If that teaches us to do, if this teaches us to do that, then that is absolutely fabulous.
Absolutely. But, you know, if you listen to someone like David Icke, that could be the plan. A one world government and, you know, the end of democracy and, you know.
Well, they've been chanting. I mean, I have a great deal of respect for David Icke, by the way. And I've followed David Icke for the last, goodness knows, I don't know, since the 1990s. So I remember when he was on the Wogan, was it Wogan?
Yeah.
Where Wogan made such an idiot of him. That was in the early 90s. So, I mean, I've read many of his books and he talks an awful lot of sense. Mm-hmm. And one world government, yes. I think this is what globalization has been all about. I think Donald Trump and Brexit have come and given it a bloody nose, but I think basically that's what it's been about.
Mm-hmm. So do you think that would be a good thing for people in the long run?
Well, I honestly don't know. I mean, if this comes from a good place, if this comes from an honest place, if we purge the politicians out of their greed and control dramas, and we came to a one world government, which was for the people and not for things like corporate math. Mm-hmm. Then yes, it would be a good thing because it would do away with war and stuff like that. And we could take all that money and use it to alleviate hunger because this is, no one's talking about that. Mm-hmm. You know, 24,000 people die a day because they're starving to death. Mm-hmm. That puts Corona-19 into the shadows.
Yeah, absolutely.
Those are the things we need to be addressing.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not.
No.
Not 24,000, homelessness, another one. They say there are 30,000 people homeless in the UK. I don't believe that figure. I think it's much more.
Mm-hmm.
That is unforgivable. In the fifth, or I think it's now dropped to the sixth richest country in the world. I think India has just overtaken the UK in GOP. But even so, the sixth richest country in the world, this is unconscionable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
These are the things, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I think that the housing, you know, the housing market, you know, it's just become unsustainable. I think that, personally, I think that that's what this is all about. Like I said, I think it's a controlled collapse. You know, it was going to happen. And rather than, you know, allow the government and the banks take the blame, they've got this virus that they're, you know.
Well, what they want is a cashless society, but it's never going to happen here. Mm-hmm. Never in a million years. The ties wouldn't stand for that.
Mm-hmm.
Asia wouldn't stand for that. You know, cash is king. But already the West has made itself susceptible to that. I mean, I'm just amazed to watch people go and buy a cup of coffee with a credit card. It just seems so bizarre to me.
I'm surprised there haven't been any bank runs. Well, apparently there have been, but not, you know, they're not being widely reported on.
Well, I think that one of the things when you have a clamp down is you can clamp down on the news as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and again, you know, with quarantining people and all this stuff, that's obviously going to, it's obviously going to prevent that as well.
So. Well, I my take on this is rather different. For example, I'm not going to go into it because I am not as free to speak as you are. I say no more. So therefore, for example, Bill Gates has just stood down from the Microsoft board.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Bill Gates is necessarily a force for good. And a lot of CEOs and other people of influence are stepping down. So there's some sort of cleaning process going on.
Maybe.
And Q, if you listen to Q, which I do, Q tells us, and Q has always been right, that this will all be over in the month of April. So I have no means of, you know, but that makes sense because otherwise the whole world economy is destroyed. And I mean, here, which is a holiday resort, I mean, there are Westerners coming here. The Chinese have long gone, but Westerners are still coming. But there are cancellations, people, businesses are suffering, all of that. And, you know, what happens when we run out of money?
Well, no, it's in Windsor, you know, I live near Windsor, which, as you know, is a big tourist destination in the UK. And I noticed that, you know, Windsor's pretty quiet. You know, it's not like it usually is. It's very.
Well, look at the airports. They're empty. Look at the flights. I'm getting a sort of wiggle here. Look at the flights. They are all empty, cancelled. People are finding it very difficult to travel. Certain countries like Spain, they've banned air travel. Even their airspaces now. Malaysia has just done that today. So, you know, this is happening as well. So, I think there's a lot of this that we don't know. But I'd like to keep a positive perspective on it all. I'd like to see this a clear out, a detox of the planet. We get rid of so much of corruption and profiteering, which is happening here, buddy, on all of this, that we come to a new place that actually politicians actually represent the people who vote for them and not the corporate interests that bankroll them.
Absolutely.
That's what I would like to see. And that would be really positive.
Yeah.
And that we start looking to end homelessness, to bring money to those sort of things. Yes, and feeding the starving and the dying. This is important.
Yeah, absolutely. Excellent. So how can people get hold of you, Alistair?
Well, I'll give you my phone number, which then they can link me into WhatsApp or LinkedIn.
You don't have You don't have a website or Facebook page?
Oh yes, of course I have. I have two Facebook pages. My business is called Health Ambit Consultancy, and I don't put all this stuff on there. I have an inner Facebook page, Friends of Health Ambit Consultancy. You have to apply to join that.
You can
message me through Messenger. If you can spell Health Ambit Consultancy. Alistair Bredet is my Facebook page. I have a website, but that is rather more special. It's https topwellnessconsultant.com. Mm-hmm. I don't like communicating through that. But yes, Messenger is perfect. Yeah. And I would really invite everybody to go along and sign up for Health Friends of Health Ambit Consultancy, because the stuff I post, and I'm posting quite a lot at the moment on all of this, the stuff I post, mm-hmm. we've lost it a bit, the stuff I post that's significant is on Friends of Health Ambit Consultancy.
Excellent. Okay, thank you, Alistair.
Okay, all right, there you go.